Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
To our regular listeners, welcome back. And if you're joining us for the first time, we welcome you. And we hope you are blessed by the broadcast and will want to join us again in the future. I'm your host, Doug Joseph. In addition to teaching and preaching, we often play on the broadcast some good music for you, almost every week. And it's no secret that I love the music of a Christian group named Phillips, Craig, and Dean. Up until now, every song we've played on the broadcast has come from one of their projects. They're perhaps my favorite of all Christian music groups. But today, we're going to take a little detour away from PCD music and play for you something that I wrote. Now, I'm no professional at this, but I hope it's a blessing to you. Our church recently lost to heaven Brother Howard Harris, one of our most kind and decent church members. The Bible says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Howard has gone running home to Jesus, literally. In another sense, you can come running home to Jesus regarding salvation and in getting him to help you have victory over sin. So, in Howard's honor, I'd like to play this song for you. It's called "Come Running Home." Howard, we'll miss you until we see you again with the Lord in glory.
I see you there with your secret pain, wondering if you'll ever be the same. You can try, but you just can't hide the hurting inside. There's a battle you're fighting that you just can't win, 'cause you're just no match for the weight of your sin. And the guilt and the shame will just keep on pressing you down. When you've made up your mind, you're through wasting time. Don't make him wait for you. You need to come running to Jesus. Throw yourself into his arms. And the walls in your head have you frozen under the gun. Well, I remember the day I saw through that lie and stopped listening to voices telling me not to try. I put one foot in front of the other and I started to run. There's just one thing I found when his arms wrap around. Every wall comes tumbling down. You need to come running to Jesus. Throw yourself into his arms. Come running to Jesus and let him protect you from harm. Where the master will dry every tear.
Because of the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden, the first man and woman, the whole human family is born contaminated with a sin curse. We were all born needing to be changed by God to be set free from that sin curse. If you can imagine a little baby scorpion, it may not be big enough to sting you yet, but just give it a while. When it gets old enough to act on its nature, it will be a stinging scorpion. In the same way, a little human baby is not old enough to sin yet, but just give it a while. As soon as that baby develops into a human person old enough to act on his or her nature, he or she will begin to sin, because we're born with the sin curse. The Bible gives us the answer to this, and that is, each person needs to be born a second time, born into the heavenly kingdom, not the earthly realm, born from above. This is called being born again. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ explained about being born again and how essential this is in the third chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. Let me read it for you. The Bible says in John chapter 3, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.' 'How can a man be born when he is old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.' 'How can this be?' Nicodemus asked. 'You are Israel's teacher,' said Jesus, 'and do not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things?'" Now, Jesus said that being born again involved water and spirit. And the Bible lets us know that he taught and trained his apostles in how they were to conduct the early church after his ascension into heaven. In one place, the Bible says that he opened their understanding. In another place, he prayed for those disciples that we call the apostles by saying that he prayed not only for them, but for all who would believe on him through their word. So, when we want to gain some understanding into what Jesus meant when he said that we must be born of water and of the Spirit, we can turn our attention to the early church, the first century church, whose history is recorded in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And there we will see that they preached to people about Jesus' sinless life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And then, when lost souls asked the church what they should do, the apostles told them to repent, to be water baptized in the name of Jesus, and that they would receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or in other words, the Holy Spirit. So we see that in the book of Acts, a convert believed in Jesus and then turned away from their sin, which is called repentance, and then they buried their old lifestyle of sin in a watery grave by identifying with Jesus' death and burial and resurrection. through water baptism in the name of Jesus, and then the Spirit of the Lord God was poured out upon them. They received the Holy Ghost. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we see again and again in the book of Acts that this baptism of the Spirit was accompanied by a miraculous initial physical sign of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave the sound. Now, when we look at eschatology as a whole, which is the study of the last times, or the study of the end of days, or the study of future events yet to come as part of the closing of the age, when we study eschatology, we will see that the earth has undergone a baptism by water called the flood. And the earth is still yet to undergo a baptism by fire. And we can see a similarity here, that a person needs to be born again of water and spirit. Now, the Bible says that God is a spirit. And the Bible says in another place that our God is a consuming fire. And fire is often used as a symbol for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, God himself used such symbolism on the first outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the new church in the second chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. The Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." Or in other words, as the Spirit gave them the sound to say. So we see that as the Holy Ghost baptism came upon that first century church in its inception, it was accompanied by a sign of fire. And as I mentioned, fire is often a symbol of the Spirit of God. So when we look at history as a whole, we see long in our ancient past a global flood through which only 8 human survivors came through on the ark built by Noah. It was Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their 3 wives. 8 souls saved by water. What's interesting is that the same water that saved them is the water that destroyed all the sinners from off of the face of the earth. So we see that the earth was purged or purified by this flood. It was purged or purified by water. This is like the water baptism in Jesus' name for the new convert. There is a purging that washes away the old lifestyle, that wipes out, that destroys the old sinful lifestyle. And so, as we look at this symbolism, we then direct our attention into the future and see that the earth is yet to undergo a second baptism. Now, it's not going to be a baptism of water. It's going to be a baptism of fire. We can read about this in the Apostle Peter's epistle called 2 Peter. I'll read that in a few moments. But let me mention that when the Lord destroyed all sin off of the earth by the flood of water in Noah's day, after Noah got off of the ark and began to offer sacrifice to the Lord and worship the Lord, the Lord spoke to Noah and made a covenant with him and with all of humanity. This covenant is very important, and it's worthy of your study. I encourage you to go to the book of Genesis and read this covenant and learn from it. Some of the amazing things that you'll find there include that God himself told humanity to implement capital punishment for the sin of murder. Also, prior to this time, man did not have authorization from God to eat the meat of animals. Man was only authorized since the Garden of Eden for eating fruits and vegetables, the produce of the ground. And in this covenant with Noah, God authorized mankind for eating meat from animals. Some scholars say that the food was so perfect in the Garden of Eden that man did not need to eat the meat of animals in order to live forever. but that since the sin curse came on creation and gradually began to affect all of creation, eventually things changed to the place that man needed to add the proteins and nutrients from the meat of animals in order to be able to endure and survive as best as he could. And that God, knowing this, allowed humanity to begin to eat the meat of animals at this covenant with Noah when he got off of the ark. But one of the things that God said was that he was never going to ever again destroy the earth by a flood. In other words, he would never again baptize the world with water. And to show this sign of a covenant, he gave the rainbow. Now, scholars have studied out why that a rainbow would have made its first appearance here, and this has led them back to the time of creation. God separated the waters, and he created a firmament of waters above and a firmament of waters beneath. Now, this is believed by scientists and scholars that believe the Bible to describe for us a separation in the atmosphere in which a water vapor canopy was up in the sky, a thick cloud cover of water vapor that would totally shield the earth, and thus the firmament of waters above was separated from the firmament of waters beneath. In other words, the vapor canopy was separated from the oceans and lakes beneath. Now, this thick vapor canopy, scientists believe, would have blocked aging radiation from the sun from reaching the earth's surface, and also the heat that did penetrate through would be kept in the earth because this vapor canopy would insulate the earth like a blanket. This would have left the earth as a tropical paradise from top to bottom, and greatly explains the wonderful and perpetual temperature and climate that was enjoyed by Adam and Eve, apparently, in the Garden of Eden. So Scripture gives us the impression or implication that had Adam and Eve not sinned, things could have gone on in that idyllic and perfect manner. But because Adam and Eve sinned, it brought a curse not only upon themselves, but upon all creation. And so, in the course of time, we see man going from being an immortal creature in the Garden of Eden to being mortal, and we see Adam, although mortal, living a very long time, and his sons living, having very long lifespans. Then we see that as the sin curse took hold on creation, man's lifespan grew shorter and shorter, and finally we see a great shortening of it at the time of the flood. Now, scientists and scholars who believe the Bible and who study the creation account tell us that when God brought the flood, and the Bible says that he opened the windows of heaven to bring the flood, that this means that God caused this immense amount of water that was stored in this vapor canopy around the earth and its atmosphere. God caused this vapor canopy to fall down as rain upon the earth. The Bible says that he opened the windows of heaven and broke open the fountains of the deep and brought this global flood upon the earth. This changed the topography of the earth in surely unimaginable ways. So, as we look back upon the flood and see in it a symbol of water baptism, we then look ahead to see that not only is a believer supposed to be water baptized, but also spirit baptized. And likewise for the earth, not only is the earth to have been baptized by water through a global flood, but the earth is going to undergo a baptism by fire yet in the future. So I'd like to turn your attention now to 2 Peter, the second epistle written by the Apostle Peter. And I'd like to focus on the third chapter. Here's what it says. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through the apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. So we see that the Scripture definitely foretells that there will be a baptism of fire, in which the heavens will be destroyed and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth and everything on it will be laid bare. Wickedness will be destroyed, purged from the earth. Now again, in Noah's day, the destruction of the wicked was also the salvation of the righteous. The same water that destroyed the wicked was the water that saved the righteous, by elevating Noah's boat above the flood. We see that God has always displayed a pattern of saving his people by warning them in advance of the coming destruction. Now, before the flood, Enoch was translated. Some see this as a symbol of the church being raptured before the tribulation period. Also, Noah was warned in advance to build an ark, warned that the flood would come. He preached to the wicked people around him that the destruction by water was coming, but they laughed and scoffed. Even as I am preaching today that a baptism of fire is coming upon this earth to destroy wickedness, and some scoff. Are you in the group who is preparing, who is climbing into the modern day ark, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you among that group that is scoffing and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Everything continues on as it always has. Why don't we just live and let live and enjoy our sin? Friend, I encourage you to remember that the Lord's promise is sure. and this destruction by fire is coming just as the destruction by water came. And you can escape the wrath to come by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and getting into the ark. The modern day version of the ark is the church. And just as the ark was lifted up off of the earth when judgment came, the church is going to be lifted up off of the earth when the judgment comes. The Bible says that the Lord is going to part the eastern skies. He's going to shine across the sky like lightning, and his church is going to be caught up to be with him. This word caught up in the Latin is rapiere, from where we get the English word rapture. The Lord is going to rapture his church, or catch up his church to be with him. Just as the ark was caught up off of the earth, you can be caught away in the rapture to be with the Lord and escape the wrath and baptism of fire that is coming upon the earth. How can you do this? By being born again. I exhort you, I encourage you, I charge you, I command you this day to be born again. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his word. And because of that belief, and by the help of God, you need to repent, turn away from your sins. And then you need to have a formal ceremony in which you bury your old lifestyle by being buried with Jesus Christ by water baptism. You need to be water baptized in Jesus' name. And then you need to receive the Holy Ghost. You need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit to help you be made partaker of the divine nature. Amen. Are you a pastor or a church webmaster looking for tips and information and ideas about how to make your church website better? If so, I suggest you log on to my blog, DougJoseph.net. I'm not only a pastor, but also a computer programmer and webmaster. And on my blog, you can find ideas for how to make your church website better. You hear a lot of buzz these days about Google. And I want to tell you that Google is offering a lot of excellent services free of charge that churches really ought to be taking advantage of. I promise you that if someone is trying to find your church, chances are they're trying to find it on Google. You can get your church listed in Google's small business listing free of charge. Find out how at DougJoseph.net. And did you know that you can embed a logo for your church onto a Google map, a fully functional Google map, and then embed that Google map into your church website? You can do it free of charge. Find out how at DougJoseph.net. All these and many more helpful tips are available for pastors and church webmasters at DougJoseph.net. That's DougJoseph.net. It's rated G, family friendly for kids and adults. The web address is DougJoseph.net. I'll see you online.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.